Well, Ysteddwch, please be seated. And it's nativity season, isn't it, in our primary schools up and down the land. As I mentioned last week, in our household this week, we had a Mary. And over the last few years, our three here have had a go at most of the parts in the nativity. Now, I wonder, for those of us who are a little older, can we remember what we got to play back at Christmas time? Did you get Joseph or Mary? Or were you the back end of the camel? Which part did we want to have in the nativity play? Now, we've seen over the last few weeks, these early chapters in Matthew's Gospel are primarily, of course, about a part that no one gets to play. It's Jesus himself, and we'll see more of his uniqueness this morning. But with that, today's passage does actually ask us to consider where we might fit in with the events of the Christmas story. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. It's on page 974 in one of our church Bibles. Matthew chapter 2, beginning to read at the first verse. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Well, let's recap. Do you remember chapter 1? Telling us all world history had been building up to this point. God's promises to bless were about to come to fruition. The focus on this Christ, God's long-awaited king. Last week we saw Joseph didn't have the shock of discovering that Mary was expecting. But that angel appeared to tell him, no, this was of God. The one to be born would save his people from their sins and be God with us. But by the end of chapter 1, we've yet to hear of anyone else, apart from Mary and Joseph, who is aware of the birth of the Christ. But now, as we turn to chapter 2, this changes as the news gets out. And our passage begins with the search for the king. So wise men we see here travelling to look for the new king, and they go to the obvious place, the palace in Jerusalem. They ask Herod, don't they, has he any information of the whereabouts of the king of the Jews? And it's not hard to imagine, is it, the terror, the questions, the alarm this would have induced in Herod. The Romans, of course, were the occupying powers of the day, but they'd put Herod in charge to keep the peace, largely by keeping the Jews in their place. So if anyone deserved the title King of the Jews, well, surely it would be Herod. So verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, all Jerusalem with him. And so assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Herod wanted to know more. What were these claims? Why take them seriously? Could it be that this Christ had somehow appeared? And so recorded for us by Matthew now, are two signs of the king. So think today, what would you say marks the presence of royalty? So there's the palace, the courtiers, the red carpet. Now we know there was none of that with the baby Jesus. But there were marks, pointers to show this is the king. And here are two unmistakable signs. And the first is that scripture is fulfilled. Verse 5. The chief priest told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Micah, 700 years before, spoke and wrote of a ruler who would come from God for Israel. He'd lead and take care of his people. And this king, Micah had already said in advance, would not come from Jerusalem, where it might be expected, but from Bethlehem, which was, after all, the town of David. And so, sure enough, that's why Jesus was born there. And that's just one pointer to us. Jesus didn't appear from nowhere, out of the blue. God had prepared the way beforehand in various ways, giving promises and prophecies, all fulfilled in the coming of this baby. As we look at them and put it all together, we can see it's well outside any human's control. This must be one fulfilling God's promises. Here's the one we've been waiting for. So with Jesus' birth, scripture is fulfilled. The second sign of this king, well, is the star quality he's got. Do you remember the beginning of our passage? It was that star that brought the wise men to Israel in the first place. Now that star has more work to do. Verse 9. After listening to the king, the wise men went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Maybe we're too familiar with the passage. Just imagine a star in the sky, clearly directing the wise men first to the nation of Israel, then to Bethlehem, then to the exact house. What is this star? There's been much discussion and speculation. But in the end, we're not told precisely. It's clearly exceptional, out of the ordinary. God bursting in, giving a sign, a pointer, saying, "Look here. Here you will find the one that I have promised." Some kind of light so that the wise men couldn't miss it. And so we too today realize, here is God showing us his son, to whom we must pay attention, the king from God, with, if you like, star quality. So we've had the search for the king, the signs of the king. Well, what then of the subjects of the king? Any king has people, his subjects. Who are they? If Jesus is this Christ, God's king, who are those who are to follow him? Well, that brings us back to our opening question. Which part would we play in the nativity? And there are a few options for us in this passage. First of all, there's the chief priests and the scribes, or we could say the religious. Notice in verse 4, Herod assembles them. He wants the lowdown on this Christ. And they know what to say. They say, well, if you look in the prophet Micah, you'll see the prophecy points us to Bethlehem. But then what do the chief priests and the religious leaders do? Nothing. Their apathy, I think, is astounding. Do you remember, these were the ones who supposedly were waiting expectantly for God's king to arrive. They'd heard that magi, wise men, had seen a star in the sky, a sign. They said, "Where is he?" You'd have thought they would drop everything, rush to Bethlehem. Could this be the one? They shrug their shoulders. They're not bothered. It is staggering, although maybe less so because we see exactly the same in the religious today. The irony that the religious don't care that much about Jesus. Each year maybe they go through the Christmas motions, find themselves in church, yet again singing the carols. No engagement, no excitement. They just don't get it. So that's the first option. The second option is, well, Herod himself. And in verse 8, it looks like he wants to serve the Christ, because he sent them to Bethlehem saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Well, whether the wise men or anyone else was fooled by this, we're not told. But we are told in verse 12, those wise men were told to avoid Herod. Why? How would Herod respond? Which is what we see in the next section next week. So neither the religious nor Herod are true subjects of God's king. Which brings us to the wise men. And they are here to model for us how to respond to this news of the king. First of all, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy in verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Because you see, at last, the search was over. Not just for them, but for the whole human race. At last, the ruler the world's been waiting for. At last, the saviour from sin that we so desperately need. So with 11 days to go, worth us asking ourselves, what is exciting us about Christmas? There is much to savour: time with the family, the presents, the festive celebrations, seeing friends, all good things, all gifts from God. But what are the heart of it? What drives the joy? Are we reflecting again? This is the arrival of God's King. If that doesn't excite us at all, there's no joy whatsoever, well, we need to ask ourselves, have we grasped the wonder of what these chapters have been telling us? The wise men had. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And then with that, on finding the Christ, we read they fell down and worshipped him. That was what they said they wanted to do to Herod back in verse 2. And so when they find the Christ, that's precisely what they did. Verse 11, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. That response actually makes sense. Do you remember last time we saw Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us? That's what the angel prophesied, and Isaiah prophesied, and the angel declared. So this response makes sense. Here is one worthy of worship, and the wise men are modeling it for us. So it's asking us, do we worship Jesus? That is strong language to say of this baby, isn't it? Of the Lord Jesus, do we worship him? Would we happily say that gladly and acknowledge that he is one that we worship? People around us today will say, won't they? They like Jesus, they respect him, they listen to his teaching. But Jesus is worthy of more. He demands it because he is God with us. As the famous carol puts it, come and worship Christ, the newborn King. Many will sing that carol with gusto this time of year, but won't give him a second thought come January. How about us? Have we realized that Jesus is so great, we should worship him? Do our lives year round demonstrate that? So the wise men fell down and worshipped Christ. And then with that, they offered their gifts. Verse 11, then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Why these gifts? I think quite simply, these are very expensive gifts. They are fit for a king. It shows the value these wise men put on Jesus. They take out of their treasures and give to him. And again, it's underlining the point, this baby, Jesus, is worthy of them. So what are our treasures? I guess it's our possessions, but with that, our talents, our time, our opportunities. They all come from the Lord anyway. Do we think the most appropriate way, the best thing to do with all those things, is to give it in the service of Christ? So which part are we playing in the Nativity this year? Are we wise? Are we like those men from the East? We won't see that special star. That was a one-off for Jesus. We may never visit Bethlehem. And yet, we will be like them if we respond to Jesus as they did. will rejoice, recognizing here is the King, will worship, giving him the honor that is his due. And then our lives will demonstrate how we value him by the way we use all that he's given to us in his service. Let's pray as we close. Father, we praise you that in the coming of Jesus, your King you promised has arrived. Thank you for sending the star, for the promises fulfilled, all showing us so that we would not miss the significance of this coming. And so now we ask for your help, that we would realize this all the more, and so rejoice, worship, and serve King Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.